One of the things I'm seeing though in branded content is around reels and sponsored reels. And I think we're gonna see more and more of this. And I think media companies can start figuring out how to do these more efficiently too, which they are. And there's some really cool tools out there to be able to do them. There'll be more of that. But especially with the right, you know, sort of advertiser, it is a really great tool. So I'm seeing it being part of the distribution, but I'm also seeing it being sold as like a one-off product as part of a sponsored content package.
Welcome to the News Nirvana podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. The News Nirvana podcast features conversations with media professionals from across the country, highlighting our ever-evolving business models and showcasing the strong and effective journalism produced each and every day. This podcast is made possible to you by the generosity of Blox Digital. Blox Digital empowers content producers to connect with their worldwide audiences at scale and continuously transform to achieve their business goals. Contact Blox Digital today to learn more about how they can help you thrive, and you can connect with them at BloxDigital.com. Hello and welcome back to the News Nirvana podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. With me today back, second trip. We haven't had a lot of repeat guests, so this is kind of fun. Back with me, a former colleague, David Arkin, now with David Arkin Consulting. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You know, we knew each other long ago in the early-ish days of Gatehouse Media, what is now Gannett. What I've liked about getting to know you, though, is like you've just thrown around in different places and pieces of the industry. So I like collectors of industry knowledge. So that's always fun for me. People who are willing to move around and dig in on all the different aspects of our industry.
Yeah, I know a little bit about everything.
Yeah, I like to say just enough to be dangerous and screw something up.
Yeah, just enough to be dangerous today. No, it's been interesting being able to work with so many different, you know, media companies and different places and ways and associations, and it's actually really helpful for me today to actually have all that experience.
Right. Well, and I love that, you know, because of that you can get so many great ideas. I mean, you know, you might get in and mess somebody up too, but but I mean, you know, and some of what we used to do was really just work with and talk with other people around the country and get their good ideas so that we could spread it around.
Yep, absolutely.
Which is, I always said R&D, that's the way to success. Rob and duplicate.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, today's topic, and I think this is interesting because I hear this around the country from a lot of people that, you know, for the sake of more revenue, let's do more branded content. But I'm not sure everybody knows how to get into that, what that really means, because especially for us olds, that means we're selling content and there's a hidden trigger in the back of our brains that says we can't do that. We can never, ever, ever do that. Things are changing a little bit, and I think we've found good ways to do it. So, you know, when you go out and you're talking to people about branded content, how are you explaining that to everybody?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I was doing a branded content training session a few months ago for somebody, and I asked that question, what is branded content? And the first person that raised their hand said, it's an ad. And I was like, no, it's not an ad, no, wrong answer. You know, and so I think that the first thing is like, this is definitely like not, yeah, definitely not an advertisement. It's content. It's rich content. It's telling the way we sort of describe it is it's uniquely telling somebody's, you know, story. And that can mean, you know, all sorts of things. It doesn't, you know, people sometimes think about the word advertorial. They think about, you know, that kind of full page ad on the back of the A section that, you know, that like was just like a long profile of that person. And that can be part of it, but it's not really, that's not what we're really talking about when we're saying kind of a unique story to tell. And so I think the way we think about this is, you know, anything that brings to light the parts of the business that are helpful for people, it's one of the things we really sort of center on. It's like, let's actually focus on things that actually can help the customer and help the audience. And if you do good by that, you're going to do good as a business. And that makes for really, really terrific content. Those can be success stories that a, you know, client experienced through using your product. maybe you're a product, you have a product that is kind of like trending right now, like cannabis or something like that. And so we really kind of like, if you think of it that way and think about how it actually can be useful and usable to the people that you're trying to reach, it really makes it quite different than somebody saying, you know, it's an ad.
Right. And I think it's hard to get used to, but I like that we are figuring out how to, I don't want to say blur the line, but you know, how to do those things, get the revenue, but we're still thinking about our readers. We're still thinking about the audience that we serve as the community newspaper.
Yeah, absolutely.
I say newspaper because you and I are old print guys, but yeah. You know, as the news organization.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the thing that really has jumped out to me is that, you know, I don't, when I'm doing branded content or I'm figuring out like playing a content strategist role, you know, I don't treat it any differently than the way I treated anybody else when I was a reporter, you know, or when I was an editor working with a reporter. I don't treat it differently at all. The same standards and best practices, you know, kind of apply for that. Find what's interesting, find the hook. You know, when you're sitting, you know, the old stuff, when you're sitting in somebody's office and you're interviewing them, look around a little bit, give them time to like finish, you know, speaking. Like all those things are exactly how I sort of approach it. And the more creative, what I've learned here is the more creative that I can be, the better it's going to be actually for the client. So for example, we're working with a realtor in one of our markets that we have a client in, and they were doing a 3-month program with us, this realtor was. And the last story we did was 5 reasons that she thinks family should move to this city. And she's from that city, so she sort of was the expert. She knew what she was talking about, and the story totally took off. And so, like, you know, often we think about like this kind of content being like the expert stuff, which is important. But what I'm actually seeing more of is actually things trending into like the community, and they're all like, these advertisers are all involved in the community and all have like, they all know the best places to go. They actually send their own, you know, clients to those places when they ask questions, like specifically, you know, for realtors. So it just gets back to like, what is actually good content? What do you want to, you know, want to read? A client recently, an advertiser working with for a client recently, you know, pitched, said, I think we should do this. And I said, would you read that? I said it nicely, you know, but it's the same thing I would actually ask a reporter when I was an editor. Would you read that? Did you read that story that just ran? Did you read your story that just ran in print? It's sort of the same thing. You know, you want to press, you want to, you know, do it in an appropriate way, but kind of really kind of press them to really think about what is going to be actually interesting here and, you know, kind of useful for people.
Well, and I think that leads to then kind of the other side of it. What are you seeing as kind of the reaction of readers? You know, because the other fear is, well, they're going to know that I'm selling this content.
Yeah.
Right. So what's reader reaction like?
Yeah. So I would say that we are seeing, and it's different in different places, but I would say we're seeing a lot of this content popping into the top 20 and 30 most popular stories from a page view or user perspective each month in a lot of the media companies that we're working with. That's huge. So just think about this. Like, let's say they were working with just a daily publisher. They publish, I don't know, say 10, 15 stories a day, you know, so over a month they're publishing, what is that math? Like 300 stories. And in the top, like, you know, 20 or 30 are sponsored content stories. Like, that's huge. And so I think when we're doing the right thing here and using our journalism hat to write the right story for the advertiser, we headline it correctly, we like do all those right things, we get the SEO right. I mean, there are a lot of things that go into this beyond just like writing the story. And when we do those things, like, we're seeing it really pop to the top. I think people are over the concerns that were out there in the past about the content, you know, not being, you know, pure enough and that it's paid. I think that if we can show that we're doing the right things and there's like sourcing in the article and there's data in the article, all the things, again, that you would do if you were a journalist, that people want great information today. They want truthful information. They want it to be transparent. As long as you're doing those things and it's a good read, that people are willing to, you know, engage in that content. You know, we spend a lot of time on the distribution part of, you know, making sure we're doing all the right things there. One of the things that we never tell a advertiser for our client that we can do, but we'll try to, is actually get their content in, you know, Facebook groups and Reddit and other distribution things that are not paid necessarily. And we don't really ever run into problems with that content. I think sometimes if it's like very expertise kind of content, you know, it's like the profile on the realtor, yeah, that might be hard to get in there. It's pretty clear what that is. But like if it's actually just like good content, those group admins are willing to, you know, accept that content. They actually like it and they want it in their feeds. And we, when Jed and I were running Checkout DFW, Facebook groups were our number one channel. And we were brand new, so we didn't have all the big audience to kind of work with to begin with. But we were doing a bunch of paid things. And the thing that actually, I mean, I'm like times three or four, the Facebook groups is where our traffic came from. And as you might remember, our model there was 98% sponsored content from a revenue perspective.
Right.
So it was really, that was really interesting. I'm seeing the exact same thing as I'm kind of working with media companies today.
This is just out of curiosity, because, you know, I've made the joke about being old print guys, but was it hard for you to get your brain there just because of where you come from?
Yeah, I think if I would have been in a newsroom at the time that content marketing was taking off, and I wasn't, I had kind of worked in, I was at Gatehouse for a decade, and like a lot of the content marketing really for media companies started evolving when I was at Gatehouse. And when I was at Gatehouse, I remember I actually moved somebody in a high level director role who was working for our news division into a role to work on content marketing, because I could just see where it was going. So I was in a little bit of a different, unique position there. I had a bigger role in the company and I needed to think of it that way. But I can understand, you know, somebody as an editor, you know, when that all started, kind of how to kind of make that transition and, you know, kind of be okay with it. I understand why that's kind of difficult. That's why, like, when we work with a media company and they haven't been running branded content, yeah, I'm pretty careful to go talk to the editor to say, hey, this is how we're going to label it. Here's the kind of content we want to do. Here's where we want to put it. And I work with them on it because I understand, like, if they're not doing it today, like, you know, I want to make them comfortable with it. And I think a really good process, actually, that a lot of the magazines I work with have is that many of the editor-in-chiefs actually do a final edit on the stories before they go up. So they're upholding brand standards. So they don't need to be involved in editing it, but they want to, I think there's, like, you know, that kind of like final gate, you know,
right,
gatekeeper role. I think that's a really good thing for them to do. So I think it's a little bit hard for me kind of where I kind of came from into this, but I definitely can understand how people feel. And I think kind of making sure people understand why and how we're doing it. Also, like, you know, I think media companies can be transparent about the revenue that this is bringing in, you know, and people, I think understanding that and editors understand that they can still play a role with that to make sure that the right things are kind of happening there are all good things.
Well, there are two things I think that you just talked about there that are important to success for people. One is you talked about, you know, get everybody involved, get that editor involved. I think all of the changes that are happening in the industry, whether we're talking about this or instituting, you know, AI tools and all of the many things, right? Like getting all the buy-in from everyone is really the only path to success. And then the other thing you just mentioned is that transparency piece. Like if we're still transparent with our audiences about the content and the revenue that's coming from, they'll give us a little more grace as we change things.
Yep, absolutely. You know, I hope that what we've learned, and I think we've gotten it right now. I think people know that, like, they have to label this stuff. I think that, you know, they need to have they definitely need to have it labeled. They definitely need to, like, you know, in the article, you know, say that it's a paid article. Like, all those things are important. Definitely when they put stuff on social, I see a lot of people not doing this. And when I see it, I'm working with something, like, you've got to, like, go through the handshake process with Facebook. We've got to use the sponsored posts on Instagram. Like, we need to do all those things. You know, but I think that what I'm hopeful of is that as we get more companies get into AI, that they take those learnings that we've had from content marketing and apply it from a transparency perspective into AI as well. Because I think it's obviously a totally different world, but I think at the end of the day, explaining what you're doing and how you're doing it and what you did and what somebody else maybe did is really obviously important. So I think there's some really good lessons here that we can kind of figure out, you know, how to apply to AI. I know we're not talking about AI here today, but how can you spend any time with anybody and not talk about AI, right?
We just spend every conversation. It's a rule now. But I think the key there is that more than ever before, it is important for us to take our audience with us on the ride. Whatever we're doing, we need to, the curtain's been torn away long ago, right? Like when the internet happened, it was gone.
Yeah.
But we just got to remember to take them with us.
That's right.
Well, you've talked about different, I'm going to switch gears just a little bit here, because you talked about, you know, the different channels and where you use it. Obviously writing some stories for your web pages or your printed products is a thing, but what other pieces are we talking about with our organizations that where you can use branded content? Because there are a lot of ways out there.
Yeah. So there's lots of distribution, you know, for it. So maybe that might be a good area to sort of focus on. You know, the social part of branded content is really, you know, is obviously really important sort of, you know, play here. And so when we kind of work with somebody, we kind of make sure that each channel has its own, you know, piece as part of that overall project. And in some cases, you know, if there's like tiers that somebody's picking, like if there's one, two or three tiers, you know, they might get more social posts if they kind of pick a higher tier. So that's all a big part of that. One of the things I'm seeing, though, in branded content is around reels and sponsored reels. And I think we're going to see more and more of this. And I think media companies can start figuring out how to do these more efficiently, too, which they are. And there's some really cool tools out there to be able to do them. There'll be more of that. But it's especially with the right, you know, sort of advertiser, it is a really great tool. So I'm seeing it being part of the distribution, but I'm also seeing it being sold as like a one-off product as part of a sponsored content package. So I think that's a really cool thing. So like I'm seeing like this in restaurants, for example. That's a hard area to break into for sponsored content at times, just because of the dollar. You know, a hospital, you know, probably has the dollars where a local restaurant may not have, you know, the dollars for a sponsored content package. But could you offer them a reel that's a sponsored content reel that you kind of package up? So those are really great opportunities today, and especially for things like in things to do in entertainment, the coolness of reels, and as it sort of slides through different images, and you can add different text on different images. It's a really cool thing. And I think, you know, advertisers are seeing a lot of interest in this. The other piece that I would mention is around social. So social media with branded content has got to go beyond putting a link out there.
Right.
I think, you know, ones that are actually building, you know, carousels with Instagram. So for example, that story on the realtor's five places that she loves, you know, a carousel on that where each card on Instagram or each slide could be a different thing is a great way of being able to sort of like illustrate that. Or even, you know, a lot of these stories have tips. So we work with an insurance agent and being able to like his tips to, you know, what to do if your basement floods, you know, this right. fall during a, you know, during a hurricane, and then doing that via, you know, Instagram, either via video or kind of cards flipping through is a really great way of doing it. So I think people that are getting, and I always use it earlier, creativity, the more creative we can get, it's different though, because a newsroom can just go out and do that. You got to work it through though. And you got to be able to, so this is some education that has to happen with the client. They might be on Instagram. They might know about Instagram, but they may not understand it at that level. And so you don't want to just like create it and all of a sudden it's there, you know? So you guys, hey, so here's how I want to kind of tell the story, and here's the tools that we're going to use to distribute it. Look at this. But the whole thing in branded content, like pitches, is you just got to get people excited. You know, the biggest role that I play right now for a media company is I play the content strategist role. So a salesperson talks to somebody about branded content, they get them excited, and they bring me in then. And I basically help kind of close the sale by talking about the kind of content we could do. But I also then will say, oh, and you know what we could do with this on Instagram? We could do this and this and that. And right. So my job is to really kind of get them pumped up and wanted to like say yes, but also really get excited about the content we're, you know, talking about doing. So it's a really big piece. The other distribution area would definitely be newsletters. And so there are lots of ways that people are doing newsletters today that I think are pretty interested with branded content. One is like, if you have like a daily newsletter, have like a placement obviously in it where you can kind of highlight a sponsored content story. That's kind of an easier one. Some are actually using tools like email drop campaigns to drive sponsored content. So, you know, you can use your own audience. Maybe that's a big audience, but you know, some of these other companies that have these big audiences through their email product that reaches, you know, whatever target parameters you come up with that you can kind of drop to is a huge opportunity, especially for the right kind of client. Right kind of advertiser. It can be a really good product. If they're trying to like not just reach eyeballs like in that town that you cover, but like think about the insurance agent. Like he would love to reach people that are, you know, 30 miles outside. you know, that he can kind of offer his services for. And being able to use like an email drop campaign is a really great way of, you know, hitting a lot of people with your content. So there are lots of ways in newsletters that I'm sort of seeing people kind of getting creative with that. And some are using like just display campaigns. So they'll put the display campaign in the email with a little text and they'll kind of burst it out to people. So newsletters is a really powerful tool. And you know, where people kind of get excited when we're talking about branded content, a lot of it really comes down to like audience. So if you do have like a sizable audience number in newsletters, like talk that up or find the thing in the find the thing in the things you're going to distribute that you can get somebody like excited about. That might be reels, but you might talk about like, hey, newsletters are really important to us. We're putting a lot of effort and focus into this. And, you know, we've actually been able to grow it to, you know, 10 times over the last year. And so getting you in this is going to like, you know, get you into a product that we're seeing people really love. So it's those kind of things that you have to kind of talk about to get people kind of motivated about, you know, the idea of kind of doing work with you.
The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Blocks Digital. Blocks Digital empowers content producers to connect with their worldwide audiences at scale and continuously transform to achieve their business goals. Contact Blocks Digital today to learn more about how they can help you thrive. Connect with them at blocksdigital.com. You know, one thing, and we've had a previous guest talk about this, and I've actually used it with my own, you know, pitches to people in the community I cover, but it's, if you can talk up that combined audience, like, hey, I have this audience, it's this number, but it's also this segment. Yep. You've got this audience and this segment. If we work together on this, we're going to double that reach.
Yep.
And I think, you know, there is a lot of power, I think, into talking about combined audience.
Yep. Yeah. The total reach number. And I think like print should be a thing in this too. I know that sponsored content is very focused on the digital part of this, but obviously, you know, you should run a brand ad in print, but there's no reason that, you know, that article in some form couldn't find its way into print in like an effective way. You know, I kind of think about like,
I would think your magazine customers love that because it's going to sit around a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. I think about like kind of the, you know, the, like those Saturday expert columns that would run, you know, in your classified, like that kind of thing. We have to kind of do an abridged version of it because you can't really run like a, you know, we don't really want to put out an 800 word column, you know, maybe in print, especially if it's a tab, what? But you know,
abridged that anymore.
Abridge it a little bit, but it could really, you know, it really can kind of work well. The other thing that's interesting is, so everybody gets display campaigns, you know, with these, you know, with their sponsored content stories, but using the content as the thing that you're promoting in those ads is a really effective way of being able to drive eyeballs. So you're not just like using the insurance agent who's saying save 25% with Geico or whatever. It's actually like, hey, this insurance agent has this advice for you on how to like what to do about your flooded basement or how to save money on your insurance, like in this state specifically. And so we're working with people to like build, it's just a different way of building ads too. You know, building ads with right. content is way different than building ads for sales. And so it's a different way of doing it, but the click-through rates are totally different. I mean, they're just so much better when we're actually using content for things than just a traditional kind of, you know, kind of brand ad. So that's kind of a really, you know, big thing to kind of work on and think about.
Well, I know a lot of what you've worked on, and it kind of stems from what you just said though, too, is positioning those partners, those paying partners as experts.
Yep.
Right. You're here. Let us help make you the thought leader or reinforce that you are an industry thought leader or whatever by letting you give those tips.
Yep. The key though that I'm learning is I was just on a call earlier today with an advertiser, and you know, we redirected her a little bit because she wanted to do tips for something that has probably been written 1,000 times, and she is never, and the media company's never going to win the SEO game for that article if we're doing those tips. But if we could find something that is specific to the city that she's in, and or the state, so insurance, for example, the first story we did with this client was insurance rates were hiking in the state specifically, and he was explaining why that was happening in that state and the laws that had kind of changed and all the things that were at play there. Like that became a really relevant story for people because it was about their state. It wasn't just generic content. And so there's a place for it, I think. You know, people sort of find some value in that. to me, I always direct people to find the local. I mean, we're working for local publishers, you know, we do hyper local content. So why are we doing like, you know, generic tip stories for branded content?
I had that exact same conversation with somebody, a personal trainer and a gym owner here in town. And it was, you know, the first things he brought up were tips that you see from every trainer and gym owner in the country. And so we really were like, okay, but wait a minute, let's narrow that down. Yeah. What are the people here in this town that you're trying to get? What do they really care about and who are they?
Yeah.
And it was interesting to really, and it was fun too, to watch him dig in and start to get into what his real strengths were.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. It's I think when people sort of hear that and they think about like who they might be competing against, but then they start thinking about what is it that is actually unique to me? What that often flips to are people. And this is where we went with the advertiser today. She's like, oh, I actually have somebody who, you know, would be perfect that we could highlight about this tip that I want to talk about. But it's somebody we just did a project for and we could show it. And I could also talk about kind of, you know, the price points for some of these things. So it was like, we were going to work in the tips, but we're actually going to make it about a local person. And as we all know, people like reading about people. And this is sort of how you make content go on the web. You know, and I think people kind of get it once they sort of like see it. It's just in some industries, it's harder than others. And it takes time to kind of get people to be kind of comfortable. You know, when we were doing Checkout DFW and it was obviously, you know, a lot of real estate, it was okay sometimes because we actually would just sometimes have the realtor talk about the family that she helped find the home for. And even if the family wasn't, you know, willing to like show off their home, not everybody's willing to go be HGTV, you know, but, you know, and that still worked really well. And the audience still was really interested in. So I remember there was one story where she had sold a realtor had sold a corner lot home and she talked about the family, and the family's story was obviously interesting. But I was like, let's talk more about corner lots. Like, why are they so hot? Why do people like them so much? Who are they right for? Like, that story became so interesting for people because people are kind of like, you know, they love that idea and the family became part of it. So sometimes like the topic can be out there already. And if we can find the right one, you know, and that was the right one right then because the market was so hot and people apparently in that market were looking for him and she knew it. So it was a really great way of like tying one of those like topical things to content, but actually making it kind of local at the same time.
Right. It goes back to what you said in the very beginning of this, right? It's be the reporter, find the story.
Yep.
Because people want a story. And I'll tell you, I'll go back to the trainer client that I was talking about. You know, it came back to, well, football season, the NFL season just started. He had a little cup of coffee in the league.
Yep.
And right. So now he's training, but when he played, he was an offensive lineman. You look at him now and you think he looks like a receiver, right? So there's a story there about training your body and doing things as you get older. And so when we finally got into it, I'm like, why aren't you telling your story?
Yeah.
Yeah. How can let's do that. Or like you just said, leading into the corner lots, finding that way into the story that people are going to want to read.
And sometimes it's actually about the advertiser. So I remember recently we were talking to somebody and I said, you know, we could start with a profile on you. She shared some interesting things. I was like, I think there's actually a really interesting hook there. Oh, nobody wants to read about me, blah, blah, blah. And when we can find the hook, you know, like the realtor, this one realtor had, she had been a kindergarten teacher for years and decided to go from being a kindergarten teacher to a realtor because she wanted to like follow this education path and she felt being a realtor had an education flow, which it does. And so that was a great hook and the story did really well. People like loved it. So, and I said, I told you, we just had to find the thing. Like you're actually interesting. And we just found the thing to make you even really more relevant to, you know, kind of the audience. So yeah, totally.
That's the best thing when you can go back. See, I told you your story was good. I told you so. Well, let's, I kind of want to shift gears a little bit and go backwards. We talked about a lot of what it is and how to use it, but implementing, and I know you've had some things where you've figured out some good ways to help the organizations kind of build into this and start it. So what are some of those, I guess, starting point stories that people can do to kind of build into using branded content more? Because it can be a little bit daunting to say, we're going to do this.
Yeah. So we have a boot camp we do, and one of the things we do in the boot camp is whether they currently have a branded content program or they haven't started one, we kind of go through a whole set of processes to see, you know, so we have to create a strategy, obviously, if they don't have one. Right. But if they do, then we kind of review what they have. And we look at things like packaging. We look at things like pricing. We look at things like distribution. We'll look at, you know, who's actually doing the writing. Do they have a content strategist in some form? How's it, do they have a pitch deck? How's it actually being pitched? And one actually the most important things is how they're actually providing results. And in what story are they creating about those results? And when in the process, especially if they've done more than more than 1 month campaign, like they've done like a 3 or 6 month campaign, how often they're meeting with people and what are they kind of talking about and who's part of that? Like there's a lot there. But I think like when you kind of break it down kind of by bucket, it's not that overwhelming. And it's actually like the thing about it is it's very in line with how publishers have run their business. You know, it's like they understand how to create content. They understand how to like sell content. They or products maybe or advertising in this case content, and they understand how to get it out there. And so it's just utilizing all those things in the most kind of effective way. So we kind of go through that process, and then we kind of build, you know, presentations. Then we kind of get involved in playing the content strategist role. We actually create the content for people, and then we actually take a role in getting it distributed, and then helping kind of share the results with it. With their advertisers. And our best, our, you know, what we love the most is when we're able to help do an extension with people. And that really tells us that they see value in what we've created and they're going to see even more value kind of going forward. But one of the biggest things is really kind of this post-sale process. And so basically the sale is made, then what happens, you know? Right. And so there are a lot of steps that need to happen, you know, to kind of make that all kind of flow correctly. You know, like the sale is made, who then actually gets connected to the advertiser and how do we decide what we're actually going to write about? You know, how does it get edited? Who's editing it? How does it get approved? Then how does it get distributed? And then all the different kind of mechanisms to kind of have distribution. One of the things though, and all, so we kind of go, we have this like really pretty map that we kind of walk people through on how to like, you know, who should have ownership in those things. And what we end up doing for honestly, a lot of people is we play the role of doing all that for them and with them to begin with. And so we say, all right, like, you know, for unless it's a large like magazine, you know, if somebody hasn't done this, like they're probably gonna need help doing it. And so we've found a lot of value in kind of helping them through the process, meaning like we'll write the content, we'll get it distributed. But our goal here is to like get somebody who can actually do these jobs and learn how to do these roles kind of going forward. One of the things that we found really helpful is that like you get to the end of the month and you need to present results. If you don't have a V, and sometimes at the end of the month, it's like, oh my God, what happened? You know, why did we not get many impressions or what happened with this? So we're putting in like mid-month processes now to help people evaluate the performance of the content to make sure that like we're going to get to a good spot at the end of the month. And if it's not in a good spot, there's changes we can make. Like let's rewrite the headline. Let's push it out on social. Like there's changes that we can make. Let's kind of add more budget to that social campaign, whatever it might be, but it's a much better place to be in than being so reactive at the end and not having the results that you want. So while the processes are important, like that mid-month kind of stopping point is a really important one to see what you need to do.
Yeah. And I think that leads exactly into the next question I had, which was what and how are you measuring so that you know that this is, I mean, obviously if you're getting some checks for that branded content, that's good. But what are you measuring to find, to make sure it's successful, and how are you measuring that?
Yeah. So, just core metrics, page views, users. We'd really like to see time on page because time on page tells us that people are really engaged, and that metric, when that is a good number, here's the thing. People don't really know what a good number is too.
Right. So
it's great to like give them numbers, but what we actually try to do with everybody is create averages for two things. Averages for sponsored content. So we can say an average sponsored content story on our site gets 1,000 page views a month. But an average story gets 5,000 page views. And that's a great metric to be able to share so they can kind of have, and we kind of do like a okay, good and great, you know, so it's kind of in right. the range here. So they know what to expect. But, you know, page views, time on site, the reason time on site is so important is that time on page is that really helps somebody realize that like somebody is actually really into what I'm reading. And I'll tell people, I'll say, how often do you open a story and do you spend 2 minutes on that story? And the advertisers are like, never. I'm like, well, look what just happened. You know, so it's a really good, like, it's a great metric. So those are core metrics. We have social metrics. We look at reach. We look at engagement. So that would be like clicks and reactions or comments and things like that. So we look at those numbers and we try to rank those. You know, we'll show kind of on Facebook as a whole how that compares to other organic content and other sponsored content that got kind of pushed out on Facebook. On newsletters, we'll let them know how many total subscribers it reached, open rates and click through rates. We'll obviously kind of focus on those kind of things. I would tell you this though, the numbers are important. I think the story is more important though. And I don't mean the story that we're writing. I mean the story that we're actually telling with the app that we're able to paint for the advertiser. So what this is, you know, what we can kind of see this doing for them, who it's actually reaching. So one of the metrics I should have mentioned is we definitely show a pie and we show where the content actually is getting distributed from. And oftentimes if we do all the right things in SEO and we're really good in SEO, we will get great numbers for that. So I had a client, I keep on calling them clients. I had an advertiser. They're my clients. They're their advertisers though. I had an advertiser send me an email saying, hey, a colleague of mine in another town forwarded me this Google alert he got about my article. How did that happen? And what's a Google alert? And so I explained, I said, this is one of the values of really doing search role and SEO, and you're getting that from us. And so like, it was just like a, you know, land in my lap. Like this couldn't be like a better email to get, you know? And so it was great. But I think showing that pie and then explaining where the traffic comes from and then what you're doing to try to achieve things for them, for that traffic is a really important thing. And so one, we educate like our clients on that, but then if we are being brought in to share the results, we obviously are trying to educate, the advertiser too. But I think back to the whole, like, you know, the story, I think that like, they want to know that like, they're getting, you know, they're not getting five page views. They want to know that, like, you know, we're actually getting them audience. I have never been involved in a phone call where somebody was like, that's not enough audience, you know? And I'll be honest. I'll say, you know, I think we could have done better here. And I think in the future, we're going to try A, B, C, and D to, you know, achieve that. They feel good about like the effort that you're making, all the places that they're getting, like all the distribution that you're getting. And I think if you can, one of the things I do in these presentation calls, I say, okay, here are three new ideas that I think that we can do to, you know, kind of keep this, you know, to extend the campaign or even make this even better, like build on top of this. And so I think looking for those things is a really important. I've been in meetings where like people just like walk through the numbers and it's just numbers, numbers, numbers. And like, that gets you nowhere. You got to tell a story. And so I think that's a really important part of the whole metric thing.
I think there's an important distinction there too of like, you know, just rolling the numbers, that's talking to an advertiser. But if you're telling them the story and like, and being open with them, hey, we did this, this is the story we're telling, but I think we can do better if we adjust here, and here, then you're partners. Then you're talking about combining your audience. You're talking about all of these other things. And that's, we're more there now in today's part of the industry rather than we were 20 years ago. Right.
Absolutely.
I want to go because it's something you mentioned earlier based on what you just said. You talked about, you know, your mid-month review. So are you teaching people to be pretty open to, hey, we're looking at what we're doing. Let's go change a headline, reword a headline, or let's adjust how we're pushing this out through like a social channel. I mean, do you need to be ready to shift gears that mid-month review?
Yeah, you need to. I mean, hopefully everything's great. And like, you want to be able to project a little bit on like where you're at and where you think that's going to kind of get you. So looking like historically at some of that's probably pretty important to know like what's going to really sort of like, are we going to see like, you know, that same amount, you know, over the next kind of like 2 weeks. And you got to take seasonality into consideration too. So like if it's if Thanksgiving is hitting or Labor Day is hitting or something like that, you have to assume like it's not. So maybe you know, you can't assume you're just going to, you know, double those numbers. So those are good conversations to have. But yeah, we often will need to make an adjustment to something to, you know, increase the performance. And we want to make sure that we then go back in 5 days and actually see if that actually triggered anything. And if it didn't, then try something else. We often don't like, you know, explain to the advertiser those changes, unless it's a significant change to a headline. We might say, hey, we've kind of, you know, updated this headline because we think it's going to deliver more results and this is what it did. So I, you know, from that perspective, we, you know, try to do that. The one thing too, that isn't maybe like mid-month from a metrics reporting, but is a organic thing that I love to see happen. It's the Google alert thing where it's like, you know, if we see somebody that got a lot of comments on a social post and they're all like good, you know, they're positive comments. That's the other thing. You got to manage comments on Facebook.
Oh yeah.
you gotta watch or turn them off. Got to kind of watch that pretty carefully. But you know, for most of this content, it's fine, but you know, do a screenshot of it and be like, hey, look at this. Like, this is awesome. The story's already gotten this number of comments. Like, that kind of thing, like, pays dividends almost more than, like, we gave you 10 gazillion page views. Because, one, they see you're actually paying attention. Two, it's, like, community members who they're trying to reach are actually, like, active on something that is theirs.
People out there
they love that. So it's just a totally different, like, it's much more of a human feel, you know? And when you think about, like, who we're actually doing work with, like, these are all the people who are sitting next to that advertiser at the Rotary Club, you know? And so, like, that part of this is a, like, that human people touch is such an important part of this.
Yeah, that's great. I'm looking at the clock here, and I want to make sure I'm respectful of your time. If people want to reach out to you, if they want to learn more or just follow along with what you're doing, how can they do that?
Yeah, I have a website, davidarkinconsulting.com. My email is really easy, david@davidarkinconsulting.com. Find me on LinkedIn and Facebook and all the other places. Those are the easiest ways to reach me.
Well, I love what you're doing, that it's still, you know, true to who you've been in the industry, which is, this is storytelling.
Yep, absolutely. But it's
storytelling that's going to bring us more revenue, and that's what we all want more of.
Absolutely.
David, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming back on the show.
Yeah, it was awesome to be here. Thanks so much.
That'll wrap us up for this episode. We'll talk to everybody next time. The News Nirvana podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or most any of your favorite podcast apps. The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Blox Digital. Connect with them at BloxDigital.com. The News Nirvana podcast is produced by Fredcasts. Think, speak, act now.